Hello, this is Pastor Kendrick. I am interested in sharing with you the book of Revelation. This is an edited version of chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. It is going to be 16 minutes. And I urge you to listen to it on your lunch break at home, because this would be encouraging to you. You know, the Word of God tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 that blessed are those who read this prophecy and hear it. And so I am asking you to participate in this. And if you're interested in the full CD, please let us know by calling 718-328-4041. 718-328-4041. And we ask your blessings. May God bless you, and may you listen to these 16 minutes of this edited version of chapter 1 in the book of Revelation, verses 1 through 8.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Starting at the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse 7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The word of God for the people of God, and all of God's people say, thanks be to God. Amen. I want to speak on the subject, and this particular book warrants a topic as well. The subject is stepping into a new reality. Stepping into a new reality. The topic is The Real World, Part 1. The Real World, Part 1. Why are so many people captivated, spellbound, and even fascinated about the future? I remember in 1984 when Back to the Future came out, and many of us enthusiastically went to the movies to see the future. But what it showed us was the past of what happened to Marty McFly's parents and the surrounding circumstances in 1955. After I thought about it, it made sense because, as been said, how do you know where you are going unless you know where you have been? At the end of the movie, we were urged to return for the next movie because it promised we would see the future from their idea, from their perspective, their idea of the future. 5 years later, the movie came out and we all saw an idea of the future. We saw flying cars, talking billboards, and flying skateboards and more. We saw more things of imagination than we had ever thought about. Why are so many people obsessed with the future? People faithfully read horoscopes, card readers, have their palms read, call psychic hotlines just to get psyched out. Some people want to know the future. what is to come. Even King Saul in the Old Testament sought familiar spirits when he went to a witch asking her to raise Samuel from the dead so Samuel could give information to Saul about the future. 1 Samuel chapter 28 verses 7 through 14. And Isaiah chapter 8 and 19 speaks about this as well. The witch became frightened because an image did appear, and she knew that God could decide to destroy her right then and there. As John MacArthur says, the dead cannot, of course, respond to such efforts at contact, but demons do, masquerading as the dead and propagating lies. The personal angel of Jesus leads John to step into a new reality, the real world. The book of Revelation is a book in the Bible about the future, but it also reaches back to the past, especially to Genesis and Daniel. There are also other various books in the Bible that we see parallels and we see the fulfillment in this great book. The book of Revelation is about the truth that comes from God to Jesus Christ, delivered by a personal angel of our Savior to John. John was commanded to write down everything he saw. The book begins by saying, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him." That seals it right there, that this book reveals the truth by the truth. It was probably written in 95 or 96 AD, according to many scholars, and John was the last of the original disciples to live to see that day. This is the great revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation, apocalypse, if you will, means to uncover, unveil, reveal, an eye-opener. It means to pull back a covering or a veil that is hiding something. It means to make something known, to reveal something that a person could not find out for himself. It is a revelation of truth that man could never discover for himself. This is what the book of Revelation is. It is the great revelation of Jesus Christ to his servants or followers. The revelation was given by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the author of the revelation. But note and be mindful that it was given to Jesus by God the Father. Together, this is Father and Son communicating with his Holy Spirit that dwelled in John. We see evidence of the Trinity in this. Some people may say that with other writers of the Bible, they may say that other writers of the Bible, the account, they have ignored the Spirit and wrote down what they wanted and wrote down what they thought was right. And we can only trust in what the Word says and what the Holy Spirit leads us to believe. Of course, some unsaved people will never fully accept the Bible account and see things the way that they want to see them. They will never accept the biblical account for what it is. And they may say, how do we know that the Bible is true? Firstly, because God would never lead us astray. And secondly, the Holy Spirit is our guarantee, confirmation, who dwells and lives in every believer. He is the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. However, if they choose to refuse to believe the biblical account from Genesis to Jude, then what can they say about Revelation, whose author is Jesus himself? As his own writing and as his own interpretation, Jesus Christ himself is the author of the book of Revelation. As his Father, his own Father, gave Jesus this revelation, is what happened in verse 1. The angel angel of Jesus Christ monitored everything John wrote. So this revelation would absolutely have no mistakes or personal opinions. Yet the entire Bible is true to God's way of communicating with us, because the Spirit bears witness. Men and anyone else who have ever written anything concerning the Word of God has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that no one would know when the end of the world will come, but he warned them to live every day as if it was the last day before the Lord's coming. The book of Revelation addresses this issue and more about what is to take place. It is the only book that tells what God is going to do to Satan and all who follow him, as well as all who rejected Christ. Perhaps this is the reason why Satan has put fear in the hearts of preachers, in the hearts of so many, not to read or open up the book of Revelation. But the Word of God actually tells us in verse 3, if you will, blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And so here we are in this book. And we're in this book for the long haul, if you will. Several series will be given, and not only that, various in verses 4 through 8, there are four announcements that are made, if you will. Announcement number 1 is, grace and peace are yours. Verses 4 and 5, if you look into your scriptures. The second announcement is, Jesus Christ is the great Savior, the great Redeemer. That's verses 5 and 6. Announcement number 3 is, behold, Christ comes. Verse 7. And announcement number 4 is, Christ is the Almighty God, verse 8. The first announcement is, grace and peace are yours, verses 4 and 5. When we step into a new reality, the real world, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are reminded that verses 4 and 5 reveals that grace and peace comes from God and has been given to us. We already know that God's grace is enough for us. It is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us personally. Grace means the favor and blessing of God. He looks after and takes care of us. Grace means that God takes an active role in our lives. We do not deserve God's grace, because God is taking an active role in our lives, and we do not deserve God's grace. But God loves us, and that love is that he keeps on loving us. Therefore, he showers us with grace, his favor, and his blessings. Oh, he supplies all of our needs, and we not only have God's grace, but we also have God's peace. Peace means that we can have peace with God and with men, that we no longer have to feel that God is far away from us. We do not have to feel anxious anymore, because God's peace is an assurance of his presence. He is with us always. That gives us peace. So no matter where you are, you know that if you are a child of the King, God is with you. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Grace and peace come only from heaven and only from God and his Spirit and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is recognized by the seven spirits before the throne. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is always making intercession for us. Seven is completeness. We are complete in the Spirit, which includes grace and peace. This is when the fullness
fullness of the Holy Spirit is there. The seven spirits is the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." This is generated by God's grace. Announcement number two is Jesus is the great Savior. Don't allow for yourself to be caught out there. Jesus said, "Be ye also ready, for you do not know when the Son of Man is coming." Oh, there are those who play church, and they will be left behind. Should there be a rapture, they will be left behind. Should it be a rapture before the tribulation, they will be left behind. Should it be a rapture during the middle of the tribulation, they will be left behind. Should it be a rapture at the end of the tribulation of 7 years, they will be left behind. Christ comes. This is the theme of Revelation, as I said. Jesus is coming again. And people who are not saved and you are still trying to make your decision, he comes quickly. He comes as a thief in the night. And there's no time. Paul says that he will come at like a twinkling of an eye, that it would be so fast you won't even have time to say Jesus. When he comes, every eye shall see him. Oh, you better say, "Jesus, now save me from my sins, that my life may be complete in thee." When he comes, every eye shall see him. Those who rejected him shall wail, along with those who ignored him, those who cursed him, and so forth. You see that in verse 7. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds." Just as he was taken up into the cloud, he would come back the same way. Every eye shall see him, and they also which perished him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Well, the fourth announcement is Christ is the Almighty God. Jesus Christ, person and deity. If he wasn't, he could not be omniscient. He could not be omnipresent. It is quite interesting that Jesus is the creator that became our great Savior and Lord. And yet he remains as the Almighty. In the Old Testament, before he came, he is looked at as the mighty God. But when you look at it, Jesus said, "I have all power in my hands." And later on, you will see that he will say, "I also have the keys of hell." He was the Almighty. He is the Almighty. And when we enter into his kingdom, we will still see him as the Almighty. For the Trinity, we will see the Trinity in one. He is the Alpha and the Omega, stepping into a new reality, the real world.